Hi, I am Jessica Graham Robinson, and thank you for joining me for Meal Planning 101. We are going to go ahead and get started, and I'm hoping a few more people will join us. If you're coming in, I have a poll that hopefully you can see or access on your screen. I have a little Meal Planning 101 poll, just asking a few questions just to kind of gauge where you are with your challenges around eating healthy consistently. And so help me know a little bit more about you. And then also if you are visiting, if you're using the app, whether you're online through on a computer or on a mobile device, if you're on the app as opposed to dialing in, then you also have access to a chat box. And so feel free to, as we are going through this, to type into the chat box and let me know if you have any questions or just comment and say, yeah, I know exactly what that's like. Whatever it is that you're thinking. So the first thing I wanted to do was tell you a little bit about me, and what my struggles were and kind of why I'm doing this. So I am a single mom of two little boys, and I've been doing this single mom thing for quite some time. And there was a period where it's been hard, I'll just say, like the meal times, getting it together, and being the only working person, because I'm the only parent in the family who's there day to day. And so it's been a struggle. And some of the things that I have dealt with are just knowing what to do, figuring out what we're gonna have, and in particular, time has been the biggest challenge for me. That's one of the questions in the poll. So there, if you can see the poll, there's a little poll that you can answer some questions. One of them is, what is your biggest challenge with eating healthy consistently? Is it knowledge, follow through, time, family obligations, or something else? Number two is, do you know how to eat healthy? Yes or no? Number three, what is your goal for attending this workshop today? Is it to save time, to save money, to save headaches, to learn how to eat better, to learn some easy, healthy recipes? So those are all, it's just three questions. And then also you should have received, if you didn't, you will be receiving a file to download. It's just a link. I could even post the link in the chat box, but it's just a link to download a weekly meal planner that's just super simple and easy. And that's the template that we're going to be working with. So if you don't have it and you want it right now, then you can let me know and I will and I'll put it in the chat box. Or I could do that right now if you give me one second. It's right here. And I'm gonna just pop that link in the chat box. So it's just a Google Drive link, and if you click on that, it'll take you straight to the meal planner. So yeah, so one of my biggest challenges was time. It was, how do I work and get home and figure out how to a healthy dinner for my family without taking all night, without taking up so much time and stress. So it was a very big challenge to me, and I've come to the other side of that and knowing what that feels like, the stress of it. And when we're not, like the flip side of that, or the effect of that, is when we don't have a plan in place, when we don't know what's for dinner, then what ends up happening oftentimes is either you grab something that you really don't want to be eating, or you wish you had a better option, but that just happens to be what's in the freezer or what's in the cupboard, or, you know, you get fast food or whatever, but you make a choice that's not the choice that you would prefer if you had more time. So that's often the case. Another case is like you just don't eat well at all. Like you're not even taking in enough nourishment because you're just so busy. Another is that a lot of times people are on the go while they're eating, which is a very unhealthy habit, but, you know, we live busy lives. So for when we do those things, then what does that lead to, right? You could say, well, sometimes I make some unhealthy eating choices because I'm just doing what I can in the moment. But the effect of that is something much bigger than just, you know, a one-time thing, because often it's not a one-time thing. It's kind of a pattern. Even if it's not every day, it might be 3 times a week or even 2 times a week. It's a pattern. And so what happens is, if you were like the old me and you're stressing out about what's for dinner, and then like, and then getting dinner on the table much later than you wanted to because it's taking so long and you're not starting until after work, then the effect of that is by the time you do everything that needs to be done, by the time you cook the meal, eat the meal, put the kids to bed, and get yourself ready for bed, you're freaking exhausted. And it feels like the day got away from you, and it's like yet another, like just like Groundhog's Day, yet another day, like just like that, where you actually didn't get the joy out of that time that we all crave. We all crave meaning and joy and happiness in our lives. And so in order to do that, something's got to change. Something has to shift. And so then on the other side, same idea, but what's the effect? What's the compound effect of, let's say you don't have a family, but you're still not making the choices most of the time that you wish you were making? What's the compound effect of that? It's not good on your health, right? The compound effect is that you end up having body aches, or having your mind's not as clear. You're not really well nourished because you're either eating too frequently, you're eating junk food, or you're just not eating, like junk food is the equivalent of just not eating nourishing food. You're just not getting what you need. Your brain needs to be fed. Your body needs to be fed, and not just anything, but it needs to be fed nutrients, like things that it can absorb and that really do the work. Taking a water break. So it's so important to drink water. And to drink water in between meals is also really important. All right, so that's why I'm here. I'm here because I got to the other side of something and recognized that it's not as hard as it seems. And even I resisted it so hard because there's something that's a little bit rebellious about me, I think. And a lot of us, where we just like don't want to conform, like, oh, I don't want to put everything I'm going to eat for the whole week down on a piece of paper. It feels regimented. It feels like constrictive. But in actuality, when you do this, the effect is freedom. It's true freedom. And not only do you have the freedom to make different choices with your time because it's not bogged down, but you also have the freedom but you also have the good feeling that you're making better choices. So like that feels freeing too in a different way. Let's see, where was I going? Yeah. Yeah. So it's a bigger cost is my point. When we look at, like, you know, the issue, the problem, like the small problem maybe, or the medium sized problem, however it shows up in your life. And we look at that problem, you could say, oh, well, you know, yeah, I don't eat so well all of the time, or, you know, I'm my life's too busy to do that. But the, like I said, the compound effect of it is something much bigger. And when we really look at it, honestly, it comes down to the fact that we're not going to be able to live a life that is of the quality that is going to get you the joy and the meaning and the happiness and the ease out of it. So you actually feel like you're living your life and loving your life. So that's what we're here to do today. So if you have any of those kinds of issues around eating, around meal planning, then you are in the right place. And so let's see. So I want you to take out your meal planner. There's a super simple way to go about doing this. And one of my fellow yoga health coach, I asked her, like, what her words of wisdom are, like, what's her, like, pearl around this subject? And she said, just do it. That was hers. She said, it feels hard. It feels like you don't want to do it. It feels like, why would, you know, but just do it. Because even if you don't use it, if this is on your refrigerator, it's going to bring you more ease in your daily life. So just making the plan, just put pencil to paper and do it is like, it's so true. Like I said, I resisted it for a long time thinking it was just too restrictive. But once I started it, I never want to go back. So, all right. So when we look at this, the very first thing that I want to do when I'm looking at planning is going to be one of the first things I want to do is say, like, what am I craving? Like, what kinds of things have I been wanting to put in my mouth? What's been calling to me lately? And it's sometimes we feel uninspired, completely uninspired. And when those times, you just maybe go looking, whether you're just going to browse through the grocery store and just kind of look and see what's calling to you, or pick up one of your favorite cookbooks, or go to, you know, just Google easy spring recipes and see what pops up. And so, like, I actually brought a stack of some of my favorite cookbooks to show you. And this will also be in a resource that you'll get in an email after this. One of them is the Everyday Ayurveda cookbook. This is one of my favorites. And one of the things that's so cool about this cookbook is that it's split up into sections, because one of the most important pieces of Ayurveda is that it's helping us to line up with the rhythms of nature, right? So we have seasons, depending on where you live. We have seasons, and our bodies need different things throughout the seasons, depending on whether it's cold and wet, or dry and hot, or cold and dry, right? Like, depending on what your environment is, your body's going to need something different. And so in here, it's broken down into there's one section that is every day, like literally any time of the year, everyday recipes. You can see the color coded right here. So, like, there's every day, and then we've got spring, and then we've got summer and fall and winter. And in each section, even, she breaks it down into, let's get to spring. And I'll show you. So, like, spring recipes, she breaks it down into like what that's all about Ayurvedically, like what that means, like what does it mean? Now it's spring. What do we do? What's going to be the best for you right now? And then she goes through the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And there's even a section on treats and drinkables. And then at the section, she, for each of the seasons and for the everyday, she has a little extra section. And there'll be a, like for this one, spring Ayurvedic spice mix and salts. So this is the spice mix and this is the salt. So like, for instance, right now, moving into spring, it's interesting because you think spring and you think, you know, like green and energy and life and vitality and things like budding, but it's actually early spring, at least, is a kapha time. So it's a time like as we're coming out of winter, we can tend to feel more sluggish in a way and kind of like in this weird place. So in spring, we actually need things to help, like bitter things and spicy things to help really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like burst our Agni, our digestive fire, like back into a force. So like, for instance, her spring spice mix is, you would make this in about a quarter cup. Like this recipe makes a quarter cup of the spice mixture, and then you use it in your, you know, cooking, because some of the recipes will call for the spring spice mix. So for instance, this one is a tablespoon of whole coriander seed, of fenugreek seed, or no, that's a teaspoon of fenugreek, a tablespoon of whole cumin, a tablespoon of turmeric, a tablespoon of ginger powder, a teaspoon of black pepper, an eighth of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and a pinch of clove powder. And so what you do with those is like, if you have a spice grinder or something like that, you put all of that into a spice grinder. I have a small coffee maker, a small coffee like grinder that I use specifically for my herbs, and it's a little stainless steel bowl. And then when I'm done mixing herbs, I can just put it in the dishwasher, and so it gets clean. It gets, because it's hard to get into those crevices by hand, but it gets clean every time, so that you know you're not gonna have your yummy Indian spices mixing with your flax seeds that you're grinding to put on your porridge in the morning or whatever you're using it for. And then the spring salts is a tablespoon of finely ground pink salt, a quarter cup dried lemon zest, 2 tablespoons of dried basil, 1.5 teaspoons fresh ground pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon cayenne pepper. So that's just, it's interesting. So every single season she has a spice mix and a salt mix. And so it's just, some of them have this, a lot of the same seasonings in them, but it's just a little bit varied for the season, like what your body needs more of. So, so that you're getting that. It's actually just helpful for your digestion. So anyway, I did not mean to quite to get off on that tangent as much, but this is one of my favorite cookbooks, and that's one of the reasons, because it's seasonal, which is really cool. And she just came out with a new cookbook. I don't have it yet, but it's another one that's really supposed to be really, really good. So yeah, I'm just going to show you a few of these. So this is Crazy Sexy Kitchen, another good one, Chris Carr. This is a vegan cookbook. So you don't have to be vegan. You don't have to be vegetarian. Obviously, the Ayurveda book is going to be vegetarian. This one is vegan. Here's another vegetarian cookbook, Kripalu cookbook. I am not a vegetarian, but I still love these. And sometimes I might cook it like it is, or I might use the recipe and then add some meat to it, depending on what I'm, you know, what meal it's for. This is another great one, The Sprouted Kitchen. This is really good. And she's actually, there's a second one. and it's the Sprouted Kitchen Bowl and Spoon. So it's got more like bowl recipes. And again, I'll be listing all of these in a resource, like a document. So you'll get that. This is just really simple. It's called The Art of Simple Food. It's super simple. Like if you are a person who's just not really a cook, this is the cookbook for you because it's just super simple. Like here's a basic soup. Here's how to make a pizza crust, you know, whatever. Like there's just a bunch of really food. It's just food, just simple food, but they're all really good. Everything I've made in there is really good. Another super favorite, you can see it's super well loved. This one's like the cookbooks where some of the pages stick together. Nourishing Traditions. So this, not an Ayurvedic cookbook by any means, and not that it has to be, but this is really one of my favorite cookbooks, changed my life. Nourishing Traditions, the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition and the diet dictocrats by Sally Fallon. In this book, you'll find a lot of what is being called now traditional foods and recipes and a lot of information. This is also a good, not just recipe book, but a resource book. And she talks about showing you how to soak nuts and your grains and how to make certain foods more assimilatable for your body. So I learned a lot out of that book and I continue to use it. This is another one. This again, this one's a vegan. I'm not vegan, as I said, but it's called Kind Mama, The Kind Mama. And it's just got, it's got some really nice, yummy recipes in it. So look, find a cookbook, find a place, like whether it's a blogger online that you like to follow. Some of them will put out, if you find a website that you really like, some of them will put out weekly emails, weekly blogs that have multiple sources in it. So you could like, that could be your go-to. But whatever is inspiring you, that's first, because you want to go with what's inspiring you always. All right, so second is, what's in your refrigerator right now? What's in your cupboard that is just sitting there that you need to use up? What's in your freezer, right? So those are the things, that's the next piece to look at. Like just very practically speaking, we don't want to waste food if we don't have to. So look and see what is going on in here. Maybe you have some leftovers that you could turn into something else. Or maybe you have some leftovers that could serve like, you know, like they'll be go into one of these slots on your meal planner. That's always great to look at, right? Because that saves you a lot of time. You just put it down. So then whatever vegetables and grains that you have handy and stuff, you just want to know those things. And you might already know, but writing it down. So I went and took a quick little stock of what was going on. My refrigerator's kind of bare, which is always, for some people, it can feel kind of sad, like, oh no, we're running out of food. But for me, when I get to a place where my refrigerator is kind of empty, it's actually a good feeling because I know that I'm doing a good job using my food and not wasting it. And also then like you've got a blank slate. It's like, oh, I can see the back of the refrigerator. I can see some things that I need to get rid of that have been in there for a really long time. So that's always a good feeling. And right now it being spring here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's a great time to do that. It's a great time to take stock in general, not just of what is left in your refrigerator that you want to eat next week, but what is still in there that, you know, should have been, what do you need to get rid of, right? Not just to eat, but to like put in the compost pile. So there's definitely some of those things in there for me. And that is going to be one of my chores this weekend of doing that. And so this is a great time in general to do that in your environment, your home, and also in your diet. Like this is a great time to detox. I know this isn't the subject of this this workshop, but right now, as we are moving into spring, perfect time to detox. I'm starting a detox next week. And if you're interested, you should talk to me because you could detox with me. It's going to be 3 weeks. It's 1 week going in, so kind of preparing for the depth of the detox. The middle week, the second week, is like going in deeper. And then the third week is coming out. And the whole thing is customizable. So it's not like you're bound to like deprive yourself for 3 weeks of eating and you have to feel terrible. Instead, it's just a way to, like I said, clear the slate. In Ayurveda, as we learn about, as the seasons change, especially here in the Northern Hemisphere where we're coming out of winter, and we're coming out of the heavy foods and the like being inside so much and just all of the heaviness that comes with winter, it becomes important, almost like a snake shedding its skin, for us to let go of some stuff so that we can move into this new time of year. We can move into the spring feeling good and not feeling weighed down. So we want to get rid of that stuff. So if you're interested in a detox, hook up with me either through Facebook message or email or in the chat box. So I made a list here. I have asparagus in the refrigerator. I have cauliflower. I have a butternut squash sitting on my counter. I have some sweet peppers. I have some celery still. And I have some leftover porridge from this morning that can be turned into something. I have tempeh, I have rice noodles, and I have some other things in my freezer. I have some lamb meat. I probably have a whole chicken in the freezer. And then I've got some grains. So I've got a good bit to play with, not a ton of vegetables, but that lets me know, like, I need to use some of these things, and if I can incorporate them, I will. So now is when we put pencil to paper or pen to paper, whatever you have, and we start to. So for you, if you maybe you know and you can just make a quick note, what do you need to use up? What's in your refrigerator? And then also, like, if you can type in the chat box right now, answer this question. What kinds of foods are calling to you right now? Do you have any cravings lately? Have you noticed a difference in foods that are calling to you because of the change in season? This is a tricky time too, because depending on where you live, there's a lot of back and forth. And so we want to like not get too heavy, but some days are like here, it's pretty chilly. And so riding that line of asking yourself, what is it that I do want? So those two things. All right. So then what you're going to do is you're going to look, obviously, like at your schedule. And if you have a family and you're dealing with multiple people, then you want to do this. You want to already know, or you want to do this with your family so that they can be there and they can have input, and either that, or you get requests from them. You say, okay, what's the schedule? What nights do you have soccer? What nights are you working late? What days are you eating your lunch somewhere else? You know, like, what's the plan for this week? Who's present? Who's not? And you want to know those things ahead of time. And then also, if you are living with people, whether it's family or roommates, you can get requests. If you're cooking together, like, what kinds of things are they craving? So you take that into consideration. And then let's say I'm going to use my schedule as an example. Monday nights and Thursday nights, I teach a yoga class, and I don't get to eat dinner with my kids those two nights. So I want them to eat, but I want it to be something really simple that the babysitter can easily heat up for them, because I'm not going to be there to put together a meal. So I would make a note on my schedule, like, you know, what could that be? That's one of the priority things. So you want to think, like, what's priority for you? Like, what's important with your family schedule and how you guys eat and what you do? Like, what's important and how are you going to, what do you need, right? Literally, what do you need? So I need something super easy. I need something that just needs heating up on Mondays and Thursdays. So for me, usually, not always, but usually we eat soups or really simple dinners anyway. So hopefully there'll be a pot of soup. So for Monday night and Thursday night, I would write down some kind of soup. So based on what I have in my refrigerator, I could go off of that, or I could use these ingredients for something else. And let's see. So, and I wouldn't want to make it that day, right? So that's another thing that we'll get into. Like, so once we, if for instance, you know that Monday night is a harder night and you're not going to be able to cook for that night. So you want to make sure that then if you're writing down Monday night needs to be asparagus soup, that when are you cooking that? So you want to think about that, right? It might be then that you're cooking that asparagus soup on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon. Let's see. Yeah, yeah. Cynthia says, yes, that's the key for us. I purchase or thaw ingredients and then plans change. Yeah, that does happen too. So it's good to have a plan, but we want to be able to work around it. So for instance, if you're thawing out meat, that can be a bigger issue of like, if you're thawing it out just in time to make it, and then you can't make it that day, it's usually fine the next day, you know. But it does make a difference. So here we go. So I'm gonna say, you guys with me, I'm gonna say Monday night is asparagus soup. Okay, I wrote that down. And then usually I try to make enough of something that it's going to last for more than one meal. It makes me feel, if I'm spending a lot of time, if I'm spending a couple, it doesn't take a ton of time, but if I'm spending time making a wonderful, beautiful, nourishing soup for my family or any kind of a meal, I usually like to make sure that we can eat it twice, at least twice. And for me, it's just myself and two little boys, so that's not hard. But I know for some of you, if you're cooking for a family of four or five or six, it can be harder to, you know, make those meals last. So, and it's actually not great for us to eat leftovers, because the longer food has already been prepared, it actually loses some of its nourishment. It loses some of its like life, literally, like its life-giving energy. It loses some of that. So you don't want leftovers to go on for too long. But like, you wouldn't want to make a pot of soup and then eat that like your whole week long and not vary it at all, because that wouldn't, you'd be getting, they're dead. Eventually, like, it's dead and it's not like giving as much to you. So then let's see, asparagus soup we're going to have on Monday night. And I know that's going to last a few nights, so I'm not going to write that again down yet, but I'm going to look now and go, So I know all of you, everybody's different. Most people, it seems like, because most people are working 9-to-5-ish, not all people, but a lot of people are, I would say the majority. And most families aren't getting to eat lunch together because you're at work or at school. And so if that's the case, then you're gonna you got to think about what your needs are. Do you make lunches for your kids? Do you make lunch for yourself? Do you want to? Have you not been doing that, but you would like to? Lunch in general should be our biggest, most satisfying meal of the day. But I know that can get challenging when you, depending on your work schedule, a lot of people don't have the amount of time to eat a super satisfying, nourishing lunch. And so in that case, you do what you can, but you do want to plan for whatever time you have, like make the plan. So for me, we're starting on my meal planner, at least it starts on Sunday. So now I'm going to look and just think, I'm going to brainstorm about what kinds of entrees, what kind of dishes, what kind of meals do I want to have? And so one of the things that's popping into my head right now is that I would like to have a Thai stir fry with butternut squash and probably tempeh and some greens and rice or rice noodles. I have lots of rice noodles. So it might be a lo mein dish or some kind of rice noodle. So I'm going to write that down under, I'm going to write that down under Monday for lunch for me. Right. But for you, that might be something, it might be a different time. So I'm going to write butternut, Thai, stir fry. Yum. Right. So now once you start and you get like just one thing on the list that is exciting for you, then all of a sudden it's easier to keep going. I think it is. All right. So let's see what else. And then like maybe, so with that, I could use a lot of the stuff that I have. I could use the peppers in there. I could use the butternut. I could use the tempeh and the rice noodles that I already have. Let's say, we're working right now is, we're Friday, so we've got Saturday. And so if I'm looking now at Sunday, I know this weekend I'm going to be prepping a little bit. So I need to, you know, like I said, keep in mind how much time you have, because you might have harder days, like certain days that you know are longer days and you don't have as much time in the morning, or you don't have as much time in the evening, or you have an appointment in the afternoon. So you want to take those things into consideration each time so that, and you can always, once you get something down, once you've filled most of the slots, you can then start playing around with moving things around, which is why it's good to do pencil and not a pen. Because you might go, oh, right, I forgot. I have that dentist appointment, so I need to put that here. And I do that a lot. And like I said earlier, once this is written down and on your refrigerator, it doesn't really matter if you follow it to the T, because then you have the freedom, if you're inspired, to do something a little different or to move one thing to a different day because something in your schedule changes. It's so much easier to do that, and it's not stressful. Whereas if you don't prepare, then it's like you're lacking the tools to follow through with eating well, right? So the one of the other, I'm forgetting where I was going with this. So let's go to breakfast. Another thing sometimes I'll do, another way I'll do it is to flip over the menu planner or just use a scrap piece of paper and just start writing down. Like I'll make a little, like just little section like of breakfast, lunch, and dinner and what kinds of things are possible. Right. So I might go, okay, here's the breakfast column. And before I write it down on the other side, like this is definitely what I'm having this day, I'll go, okay, what are the possibilities? What are the things that I'm going to vary for breakfast? And so, well, one, I know I have some leftover porridge. So I can either have leftover porridge, or I could make those porridge into like cakes, like porridge cakes, like oat cakes, right? So you add, this is another super, super simple way to just change something up. You take the porridge, whether this is, it could be any grain whatsoever that we're talking about using, that you cooked some oats. It happens to be that I have some steel cut oats with chia seeds and sunflower seeds and some ground flax seed and coconut oil and a little maple syrup and dates in it. Super yummy. So that's what we had for breakfast this morning. Now, if I want, I can add a little more water to that and we can have some more tomorrow, or I can take that and add, this is another thing that, you know, like more the traditional foods diet where you add one egg per one cup of one egg per one cup of grains of whatever the grain is that you're using. And then if you are vegan, you could do an egg substitute. You could Google egg substitute, but there's a really super simple way where you're using, I believe it's ground flax seed and water, and I believe it's baking powder. It's super easy, super simple. And you mix those ingredients together. You just, whichever you're using for your egg or your egg substitute, mix it all up. And then you're just frying them. You're just cooking it like you would a pancake, right? So that could be an easy, quick, easy thing. You could also use a cast iron skillet or some other skillet. Make sure you like grease it with some coconut oil or something like that. And you could pour all of it into the bottom and bake it. And so then it turns into more of like one big oat cake or whatever kind of a grain you're using. And that could be something that you have for breakfast with, depending on what you want to do, like dress it up in some way. So leftover porridge, other breakfast ideas, chia porridge, just plain chia porridge, chia porridge is one thing that we have pretty regularly. What else do we have regularly? We usually always have a green smoothie or some kind of fresh juice, vegetable juice that we'll make. Stewed apples is really nice. Breakfast. So I'm just writing down the possibilities. And then we've got a lunch column. This is, again, on scrap paper or on the back. And dinner column. And so I've got the butternut stir fry that I can write down. I've got the asparagus soup. Now I'm going to go back into one of these cookbooks. If you haven't heard of Voodoo Bowls, that is one of the simplest, easiest, most delicious, quick meals that you could make. And they can be rather extravagant and wonderful, like, you know, rich, and you can use exotic things if you wanted to, but they can also be really, really simple. And like, for instance, you could call this a Buddha bowl, right? So it's just a bowl. You have a grain. Usually you have some kind of a source of protein. You have usually some kind of cooked vegetable, like a green or something, like some chard or some asparagus, and then you have some other, you know, vegetables, and then you have some fresh vegetables. So that might be some sprouts, or that might be your greens. You might have some fresh spring mix in there, and then you might have some roasted asparagus and butternut squash. And then you might have something, you might put some sauerkraut on the side or some kimchi or some roasted beets. Let's see. In this book, like there's, that's what this book is kind of about, bowls of food, like different preparations of bowls of food. And so she goes through, like, there's morning bowls, like, so breakfast in a bowl with different kinds of things. And, so this is a really, really good one. Where's the other one? There it is. So Buddha bowl, super easy, super simple. A lot of times people will put some kind of a sauce. You could make a tahini dressing to go on it, or something else. It could be like a sriracha sauce that you make, knowing that in spring we need a little more spicy. So I'm going to look in here, actually in the Ayurveda cookbook, this one that I showed you, and see what some of the suggestions here are for breakfast. And so I know, because I've looked at it before, that in the spring, one of the things we're wanting to do is have more pungent things, more dry, like lighter grains. Like oats are heavier, actually, than barley, rye, corn, millet, buckwheat. We want to have more astringent fruits like apples, pears, berries, dried cherries, raisins, prunes, lean proteins, not necessarily for breakfast. This is just in general, like beans, lentils, egg whites, white meat, bitter vegetables like arugula, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, broccoli, dandelion greens, asparagus. So a couple of the things for breakfast that she, like the recipes in here, one is a berry buckwheat cereal. So it's like a porridge. Buckwheat would be the grain. And she's using strawberries and coconut oil, some shredded coconut, and a little bit of the everyday sweet spice that recipe's in the everyday section. Cherry millet cakes. Breakfast pho soup, right? Like these are lighter than the like the heavy oatmeal and pancakes and things like that. So it's up to you. That's one of the places that I might get a lot of inspiration, is like looking at what's seasonal and Ayurvedically good for us during this time. So basically, like, that's on the one side. I'm going to list all kinds of things that might be possibilities on, for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. So, let's see, I'm going to say roasted beets. And this is like, oh, it's all very personal. So I can't make it for you because I don't know what food you like. But I know that roasted beets are really good for digestion. And we typically try to have a good amount of beets. So I'm going to probably pick another soup or think about making a big salad. So some ways that I talked about how, I don't think I talked about it here, but how you, a lot of times you can recycle food, like one thing can become another. So let's say on one night I have, or one lunch, I make a Buddha bowl, and let's say I'm using beans and rice, right? Or it could be lentils and quinoa, or it could be millet and black beans, right? So whatever I'm, or it could be lamb and millet, whatever I'm using for the Buddha bowl or however I'm using it that first time, then it could be the like reincarnation of that, right? We have a pot of rice and a pot of beans or whatever it is. Then you can use that for, and make wraps, a way to, a super simple way to like change it up. So it's not, your family's not eating the same thing every time. Another way is to, make it into a soup, like not necessarily with beans and rice, but let's say with roasted vegetables, let's say on the weekend or even Monday morning. Let's say Monday morning while your breakfast is cooking, or while you have a little bit of time, like you wake up and you have a little bit of window there, you chop some vegetables so that you can get home from work and just pop it in the oven. So you can actually make a complete meal out of something that you roasted. And it might be, let's just go with what's on my list. Let's just say I took butternut squash and asparagus and tempeh. And let's say that I chopped all of those things up and marinated the tempeh in with a little bit of coconut aminos or a little bit of tamari or any kind of a quick, there's so many different quick sauces you could make up if you wanted to. You could use some kind of a tamari, and coconut aminos are both like soy sauce type things. Tamari is soy derived. Coconut aminos is derived from coconuts, but similar flavor. And you take those things, and you can either use powdered garlic and ginger, or you could use chopped up garlic, grated ginger. Like you could take, just have a small grater, just grate one garlic clove or half a garlic clove, and then a little bit of ginger, and then add a tiny bit of honey if you wanted to it, and it's delicious. And then all of a sudden you've got an amazing sauce. You can use that to marinate your tempeh or all of the vegetables then if you wanted to in the refrigerator. So you just spent 15 minutes chopping vegetables and making a sauce. Or you make the sauce and chop the vegetables over the weekend. And you could do it in bulk if you know that you're really pressed for time during the week. You just chop everything that's on the list and put it in Tupperware in your refrigerator. Chop the broccoli, chop the beets, chop the anything, chop the meat. You could even prepare meat and have it marinating. It's just going to get better. That night you get home, or whoever gets home first, right? You just have super easy, pop the whole thing in the oven, and then that it's going to be at 375 for 20 minutes or whatever it is. And then you've got a delicious meal. And what did you do? You walked in the door, poured it onto a pan, heated up the oven. You can even, some ovens nowadays, you can even set the timer for it to preheat at a certain time. So it could already be hot when you come in, if you have an oven like that, pop it in. And then while it's heating up, you can be doing something else you need to be doing. You could be decompressing. You could be spending time with your kids. You could be tidying up. You could go for a walk. You could, right? I mean, there's, the possibilities are endless what you could do if you wanted to with that time that you would have been in the kitchen. So then let's say you eat that meal and you chopped enough on purpose so that you had leftovers. So now tomorrow, when you have not a lot of time for lunch because you're at working, you are going to have a wrap, and you're going to keep it separate because it's, if you wrap it up together, it might get soggy. So you're going to just, even that night after dinner, you take your bento box or your Tupperware and you put your veggies and your meat or your tempeh and your veggies, whatever you baked that evening, or whatever you roasted, and you put it in there. Maybe you throw, for good measure, a handful of raw baby spinach leaves on top. It's just, nothing's going to happen to it. It's just going to sit there. You close up the Tupperware, and you have like a package of, we have, there's what, one, I think there's really only one in our town. If you live in a bigger city, then you have access to more things than we do. But there is actually one tortilla brand that one store sells that I trust, and it does not have hydrogenated oils or anything else. It's very, they're very, the ingredients are very simple. And just, I like to have those on hand so that I can do things like that. So then the next day you put one of those in a Ziploc bag and sit it on top of the Tupperware, pop all of that in a reusable grocery bag, and there's your lunch. You have protein, you have fresh vegetables and roasted vegetables, and it's going to be quick, right? And it's already, you didn't even do anything that morning, right? You didn't have to do that because you did it the night before. So that's one thing that's super simple. Another thing that's super simple is making frittatas. A frittata is like a quiche, but with no pie crust. So for instance, today for lunch, what we had a frittata, and I looked and saw what we had. We had asparagus. I chopped up asparagus, sauteed the asparagus with some sun-dried tomatoes, and cooked that for a while, beat the eggs. All of this is in a cast iron skillet. I'm using coconut oil, I think I used as the base, but you could use olive oil or avocado oil, and then, or ghee is another really good fat. And then you beat the eggs and then you pour them into the pan. Meanwhile, the oven is already heated to 350. So, you know, your pan is hot because you just sauteed the vegetables, you pour in your eggs. And then if you want to top it with anything, salt, pepper, whatever you want to do, and then you pop it in the oven for 10, 15 minutes. And usually like when you open the oven, when you shake it a little bit and it's not super jiggly, then it's done, or not jiggly at all. And so a frittata is something that you can use whatever vegetables you have. You could use frozen vegetables. That's another super easy kind of secret easy thing, like for the go-to, those nights where you're like, oh crap, I thought we had this and we don't, or I thought we were doing this and we're not, or I just didn't plan. If you have some frozen vegetables in your freezer, you could make a frittata as long as you have eggs and some frozen vegetables on hand. You could make a soup with frozen vegetables and have some kind of good bouillon cubes that are just ready for you. Like one of the ones that they have here, it's Rapunzel is the brand, and there are a couple of different, they're vegetarian and they're all natural, and you're just using one of those per 2 cups of water. And it's actually, they have a very decent flavor. You can also, if you make bone broth and you, or even vegetable broth, and you do it in a bigger portion, like if you do it like a mass scale every once in a while, then that might be something you do on the weekends, or it might be something that you do once a month on the weekends, or every other weekend. And so you have a project that you do on the weekends that helps you throughout the rest of the week or the month, right? So if you have some bone broth in the freezer or some veggie broth that you made in the freezer, then you can, all you have to do is take it out. And a super simple, one of the things you get in the resources is a little document that has some of these things on it. I'm going to show you. So these are just some of my kind of go-to recipes. Like one of them is a smoothie, a couple smoothies, chia porridge, a very basic soup that's so easy. And then like, yeah, and I even say here, like soup can be so simple. If you're in a hurry, you don't have time to saute vegetables, you can even just put some water in a Rapunzel veggie cube in a pot, and then chop up some vegetable or throw in like frozen mixed vegetables, and let it simmer until those are cooked, and they don't take very long to cook. And then add some, let it cool a little bit, and in your bowl, add a little miso paste. And then you got a fermented, yummy, something that's good for you. And it was really, really quick. So let's see. Yeah. So just some ideas, like even here, meal ideas, you'll get this, right? Some of them are roasted vegetables, having a wrap, having a Buddha bowl, having a frittata. Frittata is actually, it can be pretty good cold. If you don't have a way to heat things up at your work, it can be pretty good cold. Or that, like I said, that could be dinner, or it could be a lunch for you, a super easy lunch, or it could be a wrap even, like you cook it like a frittata, but if it's leftovers and you need something, that could be something, you know, again, like throw it in a Tupperware, put in a handful of greens on top, take it with a tortilla. If it's something like a frittata, like just eggs and greens, you're probably pretty safe wrapping it up without it getting soggy. If it's something that might be slightly saucy, then you might want to wait and wrap it like right before you eat it. For dinner, some super, super simple ideas are putting something in a crock pot or an instant pot so that it's ready for you when you get home. So again, that could be either you spend time on the weekend chopping vegetables for your whole week and like doing this work of getting this filled out so that you know what you're doing. Or you make sure like that you have enough time in the morning, depending on your work schedule, have enough time in the morning to chop vegetables, to chop meat, to put things aside. It's still going to be easier because I think everyone has some days that are busier and harder than others. So it's a good idea to do as much of it as you can on the weekends, unless you have more time during the day to do the meal prep. But chopping those things up ahead of time, and you could even have like a system in your fridge so that you have like, this is, you know, here's rice, here's beans, here's lamb, here's these are the vegetables that are chopped and ready to roast. And you could have, or you could have it labeled. You could put a piece of painter's tape on it or masking tape on it and label them per day. Like, this is for Monday's lunch. This is for Tuesday's dinner. These are the vegetables that are chopped and ready for soup to make, right? This is ready to go in the crock pot. Like, you could literally chop up everything, put all of the spices even in the Tupperware on top. And then like in the morning, before you leave for work, all you have to do is open it and dump it into the crock pot and add water, depending on the recipe, and turn it on. It's going to simmer for 8 hours or more, and you're going to come home and it's going to be delicious, even though you just literally chopped it 2 days before and then dumped it into your crock pot. So that's a super simple way. Then guess what? You're going to have leftovers. So then there you go. Again, like, that's something you can take to work. I recommend investing, if you don't have one, investing in some kind of a stainless steel bento box. I have a few of them, and they have them on Amazon. They have them lots of different places. But I like the stainless steel, and I also like glass containers better than the plastic. But whatever you have is fine. If you do have the kind, like the stainless steel ones, oftentimes will have some compartments to them or different levels where you actually have one on the bottom, one in the middle, one on the top. And then you could have things that might need to be separated. You could have like a salad in one. You could have rice and beans in one, or whatever you're eating. I just keep saying rice and beans because that's in my head right now. But they could be quinoa cakes. They could be, it could be a burger. It could be whatever you have. And then you could separate the bun, right, from the rest of the stuff so that the bun doesn't get soggy, and then you could have your salad on the bottom. Another cool trick for if you like to have salads, but you're kind of, you know, like if you make a salad ahead of time, maybe you don't have a tiny thing to put the dressing in. Maybe you've tried that before, but it leaks everywhere. Maybe you've tried putting the dressing on, but then you get to work and it's all soggy, right? So a super simple way is to use a mason jar or any kind of a jar, and you chop up your stuff. Let's say you have some harder vegetables. Let's say you have some grape tomatoes, some carrots, some cucumbers, some things like that, not the soft lettucey greens, right? So you've got those things that are you put on the bottom, and then you put the dressing in, and then you put the leaves on top, and you cap it, and as long as you aren't as long as you don't shake it before it's time to eat it, then the lettuce will not get soggy. So that's really cool. Whoa, my camera just did something weird. So that's a super, super simple idea to make a salad ahead of time. And another awesome thing is making, this could be for lunch, this could be for dinner, this could be an add-on to a salad or a side item for a meal. It's making like marinated vegetables. So this could be an easy example is coleslaw, but it doesn't have to be your typical coleslaw. One of the things, let's say I took some purple cabbage and grated cabbage, like a bunch of it. And then while I was at it, I grated some fresh ginger. And what else? Then I chopped up some kale, like really thinly. You know, maybe I took the stalks out and used the stalks to go in some veggie stock, or use the stalks to go in some juice in the morning, or a smoothie or something, so I'm not wasting it. Whatever you have, like maybe I grated some beets, right? So I've got my grater out. I've grated the several things. I could put carrots in there. You could chop up onions if you like. You could put some garlic in there if you like. Whatever appeals to you, could literally be anything. And so then you put all these things together, and then I would add some kind of a dressing. Like it might be lemon juice or apple cider vinegar. I could add a little miso paste, which would be amazing. That just gives me an idea. I could add I could add some olive oil if I wanted. I could add some tamari or coconut aminos or some kind of a soy-ish thing. I could add a little sesame oil to it if I wanted to like totally go for that Asian flavor. And then what I would do is like make sure I've got enough juiciness, I've got enough sauce that as I start mixing that, I could either mix it by hand and kind of massage it, which is going to make it, it's going to make it so it's even more digestible. But you don't have to do it that way. You could put it in a giant bowl, put a lid on it, and shake the whole thing. And then whatever you're doing, you're coating all of it, and you're mixing all of it up. And as that just sits together, even if it's just sitting in your refrigerator, it's like the flavors meld, but also it starts to break down and it becomes more digestible, more assimilatable for your body. So it's actually way better for you than if you were to chop those things up and eat them right away. It's easier for your body to digest that way. And so what I have done in the past is to make something like that in a big quantity, like in a big bowl, and then put that in the refrigerator. And then that becomes the topping for a salad, because, you know, people get bored eating just greens all of the time. Like just, you know, if you're used to, I've heard people say that, like that, you know, just eating spring mix or just eating baby spinach or just eating whatever, romaine, like that it's boring, right? So look for these things to spice it up. Like even a dressing alone can make a big difference. It can really bring some excitement back to the life of a salad. There's so many different things you could do with salad. You could, I've done that same recipe type, and then chop up some sugar snap peas and throw them in there. Whatever just is appealing to you is going to be amazing. You could throw in some chopped up cilantro or basil and lemon juice. And I think I already said lemon juice, but whatever you wanted to do with that. And then, like I said, it becomes, then you take your handful of greens and put it on your plate, and then you top the salad with that. The dressing's really already there, so you don't need to add more. They can also just be a side dish that you have with another meal. It could be kind of on the side in your Buddha bowl. There's so many possibilities. So that's a really good idea, having some kind of a marinated vegetable thing, roasted vegetables, having the Buddha bowl, having a soup at least once a week. I recommend, like, as it gets hotter, you might not be in the mood for soups as we move into summer, for instance, but that's when you can really start to play around with exploring all different kinds of options for salads. You could even have a salad wrap, right? So let's see. I don't have any questions. I haven't had any questions pop up from anyone. So I don't have any to answer for you, but yeah. So I hope this was helpful. So, like, just to finish up, what I do, like, so on the back or on a scrap sheet of paper, I'm writing down all these ideas, right? So we just had lots of them: the frittata, the marinated vegetables on top of the salad, the Buddha bowls, the meat and a vegetable and a grain or something like that, and then you turn that into a wrap. So many different ideas like this. If you have leftover, or you purposely chop extra vegetables, roasting vegetables, you can use those in a soup. Like, you can easily just throw them in a pot of stock or water with some bouillon cubes, and then simmer until the vegetables are done, and then you can puree it with the handheld blender, or you can throw it in a blender, or you can not puree it and just have it chunky. So there's so many different options. So once I do that, and then I take into consideration what my family's schedule is, then I'm going to fill in what goes best with which day. Like, for instance, if I right away at the beginning of the week make like some big meals, like then I know that I can have leftovers. And so then I'll choose like which days, which lunch, which breakfast, which dinner do I need? Like, do I know I'll be pressed for time, so I need to plug in a leftover there. And if you start out your week hard, then make it on the weekend, like the Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, you make one or two big meals so that they're ready, or else you chop them so that it's one of those days where you literally are dumping it into the crock pot, turning it on, and coming home to dinner. And you can also do that with breakfast, with stewed apples or pears. You could simply chop them and have them ready. You can also do that with grains, like oats or buckwheat or barley or millet, whatever grain you want to use, and you can have it all, like the simmering, in your crock pot overnight. Like, put your, you know, add the water, add the grain, add the spices that you want to use, and then just turn it on low. You wake up and there's a lovely aroma of cinnamon barley waiting for you, or stewed apples. An easy thing for would be to chop some apples and or pears, whatever you have, whatever you like, throw some cinnamon, a tiny bit of cloves, either some powdered or grate some fresh ginger. And let's see what else. I think there was something else I was going to say. You could put raisins in there if you like. And yeah, I did have a thought that's not coming to me, but you like that will smell amazing in the morning, and they're so sweet that you don't really even need to add anything to it. So, and then another super, super simple breakfast, because when you've been fasting literally since you ate supper until you break your fast at breakfast, right? Because you've been fasting all of that time, your body doesn't necessarily want something heavy in the morning. A lot of times if you eat a heavy breakfast, and I used to do this because I was always like, no, breakfast should be the biggest meal of the day. But I've since learned through experimenting that that's not how I feel best. It's yummy. I love eating bacon, eggs, and toast. But afterwards, I feel really sluggish. I don't have energy. Whereas if I eat something like chia porridge or stewed apples, or even just simply a green smoothie, I feel nourished, I feel light, and I have lots of energy. So that's really the true test, is what it feels like in your body. So you might want to, depending on what your schedule is like and how, what kind of a break you have for lunch and what the time gap is between breakfast and lunch, you might want to play around seeing what it feels like to just have a really nourishing green smoothie in the morning and see if your body loves that. In any case, I hope I've given you some good ideas. I challenge you to fill out this and take a picture of yours and post it in the group. So post it in the group, and not only will you be sharing with us, because you'll be like taking advantage like of the challenge, conquering the challenge, but you'll also be inspiring your friends to do the same. And I swear, like the first time you do this, it's going to feel, if you didn't do it with me just now, the first time you do it, it's going to feel a little bit like pulling teeth. It's going to feel like, ugh. And then everything in the world that could be a distraction will feel like a distraction. But you just have to put your blinders on, get your cookbook out, or print off your like some inspiring recipes from the internet that you want, and make sure you've got your family's schedule. If you're dealing with other people's schedule, make sure you know that. And then just sit down, make yourself a cup of tea. It really, once you get started, it really doesn't take much time at all. It's just training yourself to do it. That's the biggest step. So I challenge you to do it. And if you do, I might have to think up a reward for you. The reward is going to be that you amaze yourself with how easeful your week is going to be and how much time you have for doing other things that you love and spending that time with the people that you love, instead of at the end of the day feeling like you almost pulled your hair out and you can't do anything except fall into your bed, right? So that is really the reward. The reward is intrinsic. But I will be sending you an email, and I challenge you to fill this out and let me know how it goes. And let me know if you do still have questions, if you want to troubleshoot. For all of you who watched this video or were live for this workshop, I would love to offer you a time together where we have a conversation over the phone and just talk about what your health goals are and what your challenges are and what might be some action steps that could help move you in the direction that you want to go. So if you would like to, I'll be sending you a link for that in the next email that you'll get. And I hope you follow up and schedule with me. I would love to connect with you. And so have a great weekend or week. Whenever you're watching this, have a great day. And fill out your meal planner. Just do it. Just do it. You've got this. And I'm here for you. So thanks again for tuning in. This is Jessica Graham Robinson of SacredSpaceHealingArts.com. And let me know how I can help you. Namaste.